You are tuned in to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Today, my guest is George Kavassalis, who returns to complete the third show in this series. In 2003, George was to have an experience that changed his life and everything in his life. His galactic family took him to a large ship near the Sirius star system. There, they facilitated an experience in which George took a journey with his conscious spirit up through the dimensions of our universe and got to rediscover what life here is all about. He was able to know with certainty who we all are, where we come from, and where we are headed. He makes an important distinction between the spiritual hierarchy and Galactic Council of Light as his true family, which is not the same as a group calling themselves the Galactic Federation of Light. Having exposed the distortions fed him from the Galactic Federation of Light in 2004, he is here to reveal the deception and lies being imposed upon humanity from behind the scenes, empowering people from within, which allows them to make better decisions during this time of the great change. When I first saw and heard George in an interview, I knew that he was authentic and could help us comprehend the vast cosmic drama, which is unfolding exponentially. This is the third of three shows, so let's welcome George back now. Hi, George. How are you today?
Good morning, Lance. Oh, I'm feeling quite good, thank you. And yourself?
Yes, I'm quite good and refreshed. I just took a shower before the show, so I'm feeling fresh and reinvigorated. My physicality is feeling fresh.
Yeah, I can feel you bouncing through the airwaves there.
Yes, yes. Well, I'm going to have to regulate my energy a bit as we start talking, so I'm calibrating now. One of the things that I thought might be fun to ask you is that I've been listening to your wonderful CDs again, and I just can't heap enough praise on what you're doing. It's just an amazing, a vast amount of information that every bit of it resonates. But one of the things I thought might be interesting to delve into a little bit more is your experience of being on the ship and going up to and beyond the fifth density. I thought if you could share with us some of the details of that experience with us, we might be triggered to remember our own experiences and remember that we are there already. Does that sound like a good place to start today?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'm happy to start anywhere. And that's a really good place because, like you mentioned just then, you made the statement that we're actually there. And we've got this notion that's being propagated on the planet that we're not there, that we've fallen, and we have to work our way back to that vibrational pattern. And I see that as part of the deception, actually, that notion. All we need to do is reintegrate with a part of aspects of us that are there. Now, that's a different concept altogether than having to find your way back to a vibrational paradigm with the notion that you are not there, and the deception of the notion that you are not there is to lure you into a different paradigm which will be presented as though it is the fifth dimension and above. It's another energy that's been created to simulate, if for want of a better term, the true heavenly realms. So there's an enormous void between the fourth and the fifth dimensions, and it's known as the great void in the universe. That's what everyone knows it as. And, well, those who are aware. And the issue is that the energies at the top of the fourth dimension and the paradigms that have been created in the first, second, third, and fourth dimensions by certain beings are so colossal in nature, and the fourth dimension being the biggest in physical size, having so many layers and upon layer of realities in it, multiple, I mean, massive amounts. It's by far the biggest, and it's what makes up a good 80 to 90% of the cosmic arena, the lower domains of the universe that we call the cosmic arena, and the void actually when people are in these paradigms, when they get lured into these paradigms and they look up, they see a whole universal paradigm. And the beings that are at the top of these paradigms, they feel that they are like a god or and part of their angelical hierarchies or ascended masters and what have you. And I know we've discussed this before, but the point I'm trying to make here is that the void, by those who are unaware, the void actually appears as though it's the edge of the universe. It's the outside of the universe. And the top of the fourth dimension appears as though it's the very highest reaches of the universe. And that's not the case. So when we actually reconnect with our true essence and can go beyond that, because that's the only way you can breach that void, the only way you can get through that void is to reconnect with a greater essence of self, which is in the higher realms. And that's the only organic way you can do that. There is no other way. It's just how things have been set up by the Creator. It's foolproof. Once one enters the great arena, there's only one way out, and that's reintegrating, rebalancing, and once again establishing the connection with one's greater essence. Because that part of us is in sync with the universal Creator and is in sync with life. Well, you know, it's that part of us that's up in the higher realms that's living in harmony with life. And I've had numerous experiences in this lifetime of going to that realm, and it's a wonderful state of being. It's really incredible. I went there with my essence. So my body would lie in bed, and I would travel there with my essence. And my awareness, my conscious awareness, would once again be reconnected with that aspect of me, and I'd be once again that aspect of me in that domain. So I was walking around there. I was having meetings, and you know, still in an embodiment because the higher self realm is still form. It's only when you get beyond that you can have energetic forms if you want in the higher self realm. I mean, you can be just energy in the first dimension. You don't have to have like an embodiment. There's right. Energies in every dimension, you know, first, second, third, fourth, fifth. You can always be in energetic form. But what I'm trying to say is that we also have physical forms in the fifth dimension, but not physicality as we know it here.
Right. Right, and that is the dimension where a dimension of light, as I understand it, that doesn't require anything to feed off of anything else at that point.
That's right. No one consumes anything but universal light. We just live off light. That's what sustains us. And there's a single energetic center in the middle of the chest. These are the higher self bodies. Because we're back to singularity, we're back to oneness and harmony with creation. And it's from there that when you project down into the great arena that the chakra systems come into play, chakra embodiments, because you end up fragmenting from singularity back into a fragmented and multiple energetic center and state of being.
I'm on the radio live in Australia doing a show. Okay,
yeah.
Go ahead. My neighbor just dropped by out of the blue.
Okay, that's nice.
I guess he felt the vibrations and just got attracted to the house.
Yeah, isn't that lovely?
Oh, isn't that fun? It's so fun. So, where were we?
I was talking about how we have a single energetic center in our higher self bodies. But, you know, we can be energy if we want. And on that realm, too, I mean, on that realm, the power of processing there is incredible. You can actually connect with the universal Creator and be the universe all at the same time. You can be the all on that level. It's just
phenomenal.
Yes, I've
had experiences like that.
Sorry?
And I think if I hadn't, I wouldn't have the experience or the marker for experiencing the all. So those experiences are very helpful to get the taste of what it's like to be all that is.
Yeah.
To be the consciousness of everything, and it's an experience that you just don't forget. But you know, the density here is so great that it seems that to return to that in the past anyway, in earlier decades, required a great amount of focus and discipline. And so eventually I stopped meditating. I just started living my life and decided that, you know what, whatever happens is going to happen. And, I will just connect as I'm able to. And in the meantime, I'm going within. And that seems to be serving me pretty well at this point.
Yeah, that's what's serving me the best, because I tried so many different other avenues. And, of course, I didn't try them all. It's a bit hard for everyone to try everything in a lifetime. But what I found is as long as people are immersing themselves in someone else's program, then that's what they're doing. They're immersing themselves in someone else's program, whether it's a healing modality, a meditation technique. These are all actually stepping stones. And what I discovered, what I was doing for myself, and I can clearly see what just about everybody out there is doing as well, is we tend to make these techniques and these programs, for want of a better term, but that's what they are in a way. We make it the all. We make it our everything. And people immerse themselves in it. They condition themselves through these techniques. And they then get to the point where they think the only way they can actually access the higher essence is only through these techniques. Then that creates dependency. And what they don't realize is they've just created another religion for themselves.
Exactly.
So,
well, and we are the creators, so, we can use techniques to empower us, tarot, numerology, astrology, all of the above and more, but it's important to remember those are just tools, and we are the creator. We don't need the tools.
They're all just stepping stones. And then you get to an actual threshold point where you just let go of all of that stuff.
Right.
And you just start being your authentic and natural self.
Right.
And you just start to flow in your river of life again. And it becomes so simple. But it's the simplicity. People scratch their heads and they go, because it's such, you go through the techniques, the realm of techniques, and you try so hard, and it's such a challenge, like you said, so much energy involved. And because of that, people, struggle to grasp the concept of the simplicity.
They think
it's meant to be really hard work. They say it can't be that simple. The mind has an issue with that, and the mind wants to overcomplicate everything. It's habitual for it, and the mind doesn't want things to be simple because then it's not as important as it once was. As you said in your book, "Grow in your river of life," Lance. You quoted, that's pulling a quote out of your book now. Grow in your river of life. And when you immerse yourself, you not just immerse yourself, but you become your river of life once again, that's when the growth really, really starts to happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It seems, too, that you talk about the veils lifting, and I don't know if there will be, a universal lifting of the veils for all of us, but it does seem that there will be some point, there must be some point at which the veils will thin sufficiently that the masks that we wore and that we wear as personalities of a larger essence and our higher self will be dropped and we'll be able to see each other for who we are. And I'm guessing that would also include those who are not of a particularly positive vibration. We should be able to see just about, people as they are here without their masks. Is that something that we're going to be able to see at some point?
I feel that that's already happening. I mean, there's people you have in your life that you see straight through them, really. You see what's going on with them. You see the layers. You see the insecurities and the fears and the, you know, and the need to defend their egos. And, you know, that's because we're seeing already through them. So the veil is already lifting constantly for us. And it's just getting to the point where we're beginning to see, some days we see more than others. We might go through a period of a few months of seeing really well, and then we go take a few steps back, and we think, what's happened to us? What's going on? And we start to get a little bit concerned. So we go through these cycles, but overall, the graph is showing that we are, you know, for want of a better term, we're moving forward in that direction. We are always, the veil is always constantly lifting. Mm-hmm. And I go through my own personal individual cycles, and recently I've I've had some major stuff removed out of my system, and so I'm seeing a lot clearer these last few days. So I'm going through one of those cycles where I can actually see again, whereas I just went through a cycle of recent times where I was knocked back quite a few pegs due to some contracts that I had to honour. But it's been really, really good to be free from that and have clarity once again to the degree I'm having now. So there's something actually I wanted to share about the astral realm.
Good, wonderful.
Yeah, I've there's another interesting deception which I'm, and you're the first person I'm speaking to about this besides my wife and a dear friend of mine. So I've never spoken to this about this subject on in any interview, so I want to share that with you here, is the subject of the first and second dimensions. Because what's happening is when we look at the lower astral, what people refer to the lower astral, and I don't know if you've experienced that realm, we label it the lower astral, but is it? Okay, how often have people questioned whether it is or it isn't? Right. And what I've come to know of my experiences of late is that there's been a very definite program to blur the lines between the first and second dimensions and the lower astral and the astral realm. The reason for that is because they propagate the notion that this reality is the lowest of the lows. So in all honesty, everybody's listening, in all honesty, are you going to tell me that these really dark, heavy reptilians and greys and other awful, dark, disgusting, sleazy energies, not all reptilians are like this though, I'm not being racist, but the ones that are you going to tell me that they actually exist in a higher vibration than ours? No, they do not. The notion that the earth is the lowest of the lows, and you'd be surprised how many speakers out there are actually saying this, that they are propagating the notion that we are at the bottom of the barrel of the universe. And that is just so not true. That is a deception. And I want to clarify that because their notion that, you know, there's a lot of people who feel that the first and second dimensions are, the first dimension is the mineral kingdom, the second dimension is the flora and the fauna, a lot of plant and animal kingdoms, and we are living on the level of the third dimension and everything else is above us. And that's just a blatant lie. That's not true. That concept is nice to look at the mineral kingdom, plant kingdom, and us, you know, if that's the way they want to, you know, create a model which is comfortable for their mindset, that's great. But that does not account for the first and second dimensions of the universe. That's something different. And in my experiences that I've had, the second dimension is Saturnalian in nature. If people want to understand what that word is, it's to do with basically almost on the point of revelry, but revelry without morals, if you know what I mean. The beings that exist in the second dimension are more amoral in nature. And then you've got the first dimension, which is the real pits, right, the real lows of the low. And there it's dark, sludgy, disgusting energies where it is totally unethical and totally immoral. These are the realms that exist in our universe, and no one's accounting for them. And there's this interesting notion that these realms are being placed above us in vibrational format. So I just wanted to bring this to your attention because I think this is a massive, massive revelation. And it's really busting this negative propaganda towards our Earth Mother and our human family. It's busting it wide open because whoever is going to say and propagate the notions that we are at the bottom of the barrel, that is just a blatant lie, and that is serving another agenda. And the reason why this reality is so dense has got to do with compression. It hasn't got to do with that we've moved further away than from the whole and sanctified essence of the universal creator and our whole and sanctified essence. It's not because the waveform that we experience here is the biggest waveform and is the last of the lows. Now, those first and second dimensions I've just spoken of, they are represented here in this reality. Yes, they are. But our reality is a microcosm of the macrocosm. The whole universe is represented here. To say that we are just at the bottom of the bottom and that we are lowly humans and we don't know what we're doing and we need guidance and nurturing, that is just a blatant lie, and that is serving a very, very serious agenda.
Absolutely. It sounds like the Jehovah program that's running from Saturn.
It certainly is.
Yep, yep. Well, that's a pretty potent pack of lies that we have been fed and convinced is real. And, of course, you've spoken about this, and others have spoken about the frequency barriers and the frequency controls, which are keeping us limited and locked into certain belief systems which are not serving us, which tend to create a cutoff, at least in our thought forms, and that just as well might as be real because the thought forms that we hold create the reality. So when we think we're cut off, we are cut off, but we're not. And as you said, our connection goes all the way from the fifth, our higher self level, to source and beyond. So, yeah. You know, there's no way that we could not be connected to all that is. It's a multidimensional layered type of thing, and you just have to imagine it that way and reconnect for yourself within, not without. Because if we're looking outside of ourselves for some kind of validation from other people, from groups, from churches, from politicians, from leaders and bankers and the rest of it, we're going to be caught in a paradigm that is doomed to control us.
Exactly. And I've got a little saying, I'm not perfect, but I'm perfect the way I am.
I love it. That's beautiful. Very true, very true. Yeah. And it's so funny because that's one of the paradoxes that's true. We aren't perfect, and we are perfect. So yeah. When we're able to embrace paradox and realize that we aren't and we are and we're this and we're that, and there is no one truth, no one size fits all, you know, then we're starting to think. That's the beginning of true thinking for ourselves, when we can contain and hold many realities and many paradoxes within us. Then we're starting to live and live for ourselves and not through or for anyone else, artificial or otherwise.
So well said, Lance.
Oh, thank you. You inspire me.
Vice versa. You inspire me too, mate.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Well, now, so let's go. Let's delve a little bit more into this realization that you're having now about the mineral and the flora, the flora and the fauna. Now, we know that there are spiritual dimensions that hold those realms together, and they're very high, and that there are divas and elementals and fairies, and maybe they've been given a bad rap, and they're being demonized by the forces of limitation. And in reality, those forces are actually playful. They may be scary, but they're not bad. They're not immoral in the sense that they're immoral in the sense that they're creating paradigms of control around us that look like they're multiple dimensions up to the 144th, when in reality that's just a fourth dimensional construct designed to contain us. So what about the true forces behind the mineral and vegetable realms and the divas and fairies and the elementals that are graciously hosting through the Divine Mother all of this for our experiences?
Very, very good question, mate. Yeah, because, well, first of all, the mineral kingdom and the plant and animal kingdom are in the third dimension. They're not in another dimension.
Right.
They are in our dimension with us,
right,
and they are different expressions. And I'll come just straight out, and I'll let you know that I actually met my own essence, my aspect, as a hill, as almost a mountain. I'm here in Australia, and I've met my essence as a tree. So I've met myself, my aspect in the mineral kingdom, and I have also met my aspect in the plant kingdom.
Wow.
Okay, so this is how I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And we have aspects of ourselves on this planet. When we say we are one with this reality, it's not just a lovey-dovey notion of a concept of a collective hive mind, like a beehive or ant colony,
right,
sort of concept of oneness. You know, we are planets, we are stars, we are galaxies, we co-create. The way this universal creator functions is it's a inclusive process, it's a participatory process, and we co-create along the way. And so if we are going to occupy a reality, then we get the opportunity to play an involved role in creating that reality, so we can experience that reality on all its levels, not just one. And we have aspect of ourselves in the animal kingdom as well, in the bird kingdom. We're just not aware of it. And and I understand how we're structured here simply because I've had the experiences. I know other people have too. It's just important to realize that the scope of our involvement, our investment here in this reality. See, what all these other spiritual philosophies and concepts are trying to do, they're trying to create more division between you and the natural environment. They want to create an elitist perspective that you are above the mineral kingdom, you're above the natural environment, that you are something better. And of course we, the human form, the collective human soul, is the main point of focus in this reality. Granted, of course, you know, we are the main project here. That's why this whole reality has been set up, so we can become what we need to become. But all the kingdoms, it's a symbiotic thing, because the kingdoms are learning, be it the mineral kingdom, the plant, animal kingdoms, and all the kingdoms within those kingdoms, the aquatic kingdoms, you know. All of those are learning through the interactive process that we are all having with one another as well. So as us as a collective human soul are going through our process of becoming, learning, growing, interacting, those interactions are teaching these other kingdoms as well. Everybody's learning a great deal from all angles, from all perspectives, from all kingdoms, everybody. It's a complete interactive process that we're having here, and it's a symbiotic relationship that we have with all, not only the consciousness of this planet, but all the kingdoms involved in helping to manifest and bring this reality into being.
Boy, that truly resonates with me, because I'll tell you, we can walk out into nature, just step off my deck, and I'm overlooking the American River, and there's nothing but trees and bees and flowers and things, and I can just, within seconds, find something that absolutely creates a state of awe and wonderment, and I feel humbled by all around me. So so as soon as I walk out into nature, I feel like I'm just in Wonderland, and that I am not, I feel not quite as high as the creation around me, and it's just amazing to be in that space of appreciation.
Yeah. It's the wonderment, like you said, of nature is phenomenal. It really is.
Yeah.
And all the programs that we have running, our societal programs, virtually all of them, there's very few that aren't functioning this
right.
way. They virtually all are designed to create, to drive that wedge between our awareness, our psyche, and our connection, our heartfelt connection. You know, that's the end result. To heart, disconnect the heart and the energies from our natural environment. And it wants to create a breakaway format. And it's amazing when I'm sharing this information and you get all these opinions that are being shared from people who are with the Galactic Federation of Light and, and all these off-world ET groups and all these philosophical paradigms, the Oneness University, I know I'm naming names, but there's just so many out there. That's just to name a few, but some of the ones that we've got friends who are caught up in all these sorts of things. And
that's right.
I tell you what, all these paradigms are designed to lure people into them. They are recipes for mindsets, and they have a cookbook. The larger cosmic energies that are imposing themselves here have a cookbook, and they have a recipe for every mindset. And it's important to get out of the mind and get into your heart. And even though these other philosophies promote that, it's the way they go about it. It's the techniques that they use to get people to access a very shallow version of heart energy.
That's right. It's so funny you should mention that about the cookbook, because it brought up images of Rod Serling's Twilight Zone episode where the people are herded onto the ships and they're told about these wonderful ETs, these aliens, and the aliens are about 7 feet tall with big heads and robes. And as they're getting onto the ship, the cookbook says to serve man. So I think that's a pretty apt description of what's being occurring here, that these slightly higher entities that have set themselves up as gods and rulers here and feed off the energy of religion and of our worship and our anger and hatred and violence is just as good. It's all filet mignon to them. They're just basking in our energy and sucking it out like a cosmic draw at a McDonald's.
Oh, it's a smorgasbord. Each area that's set up, like a hospital, for example, provides certain types of energy, so it's a particular flavor of energy. And then you go to a corporate infrastructure, and all the people that are functioning in the corporate infrastructure, they all function and their egos function a certain way. It's about competition, with a quite subtle version of aggression. It's very competitive. It's very ego-based. It's very full of vanity. Then you've got the world of models and the world of entertainment, which is full of vanity and ego, and again, a type of a different flavor. Then you get the world of sport, and you've got an arena of 100,000 people screaming their heads off in this tribal manner towards their football team, which I did in my lifetime. And you think, my goodness, imagine the energetic charge that's been fed there. So what they've done is they've cleverly set up all these very, very intense programs and infrastructures all over the planet. They have us vibrating and functioning in a particular way in each one of these. Therefore, each one of those provides a flavor. And even though I said, the corporate, even within that, there's multiple flavors. So it's kind of like a smorgasbord upon a smorgasbord upon a smorgasbord. And these guys are just feeding off us like crazy,
Oh, yes. Yep. That's right. And in return, we're getting the artificial constructs. The golden arches, those represent something on a higher level. Everything here that's artificial and artifice represents something that is accurate and true in a very deep spiritual sense, but it's been co-opted and spun around so that we are accepting the false notions and versions of it through the corporate logos and the images and the sayings. It's all so scripted and so stupid and foolish that it seems like an idiot could see through it if they just open their eyes.
Well, I'm one idiot.
Okay, thank you. I'm another one. I am the dumbest, kookiest fool you ever did see. In a smart way.
No, we always
saw we need to wake up and see this stuff.
I mean, from when I was a child, I could see through all this crap, and I just had to, in one way, I just gave up and just allowed myself to be immersed in it deeper, and then I started getting to the point where I couldn't take it anymore, so I started breaking away from that, releasing myself from that infrastructure, and I feel like I'm in a really good place these days.
Yeah, me too. And sometimes I get sucked into some new little manifestation, and I'll go down the road a bit, and but then my gut feeling starts to get uncomfortable, and it gets denser, and I feel like there's a heaviness or there's something wrong. And I might not know what it is right away, but at some point I get it, and I'm getting it faster and faster, and I think a lot of people on the planet who are tuned into their own higher frequencies are getting it. Thanks to people like you who are helping us to, who are empowering us to see the constructs so that we can, once you see the man behind the curtain, the Wizard of Oz, no slurs intended towards Australia, of course.
It should be, because this is where it comes from. The Wizard lives in the land of Oz. People don't underestimate Australia.
Oh, no. No, it seems that so many higher frequencies are emanating from Australia, and I heard Lisa M. Harrison talking to somebody in an interview, maybe it was you, about Pine Bluff and what's going on there. I think it was some representative of an Andromeda Council, if that's true. I don't know.
I think Lisa did interview somebody recently to do with the Andromeda Council.
Yeah,
a gentleman called Tolik. She spoke to me about it recently. I haven't had a chance to listen to it, but I definitely will. And, Pine Gap is the, because I've been in there, it's the biggest underground base on the planet. And, at least in the Western world, that's how I know it. And Area 51's got nothing on Pine Gap. And whenever we have a prime minister that gets selected,
right,
which is every single one of them,
right,
no such as elections, that's just
no there isn't.
They all get taken into Pine Gap, and they always go in there, you look at their eyes, and when they come out they're all different, they're all glassy eyed, and is it like a different person? So when they come back out, and a lot goes on there. I mean, there's a platform there to get to Mars and everything. So I hope I'm not getting into big stuff there. But if your listeners can't cope with that, but there's a lot more going on in Pine Gap than people realize. It's definitely the center of mind control on an earthly level. It's the center of the it's basically the head of operations for the control infrastructure on our planet, because from there it goes to the moon. The beings on the moon have gifted to the ruling establishments, or I'll say the powers that were, a smaller version of the bio artificial intelligence computer that's on the moon, which monitors all our thoughts, in the mind matrix. And so they've got a smaller version of that, and they've been using that to try and monitor. They monitor all the internet and the telephone calls, and they have the ability to track everyone just from their frequency of their functionality. You don't have to be chipped, you don't have to be implanted, you don't have to be, have a mobile phone to be tracked. They just track you through the frequency of the emanation of your being. We've all got our own unique frequency signature. And they understand your brainwave patterns, and they can induce thoughts into people's minds. And, it's quite full on. I don't like to talk about it too much, because it actually ends up freaking people out a bit. But, some people, they it's good for them to know what's going on. For others, they'd rather just ignorance is bliss, I suppose.
Right. Well, I am aware of these things going on, and, you know, there's a point, it can drive you crazy, because then you start going down this conspiracy road, and
that is
just another trap that is set up to keep us. Go ahead.
I was going to say, I agree with you, Lance, that it is a trap, and I got caught up in it for a little while, and you end up spiraling in a lot of negativity. So
exactly.
I say to people, you know, it's nice to know and be aware of what's going on, but it's like, it's the think of it as the planetary and the cosmic drama. How much do you want to get involved or sucked into that argument, into that drama? It's you know, yes, it's affecting the planet, it's affecting our human family. But, you know, when you snap out of it, you start to realize that, you know, okay, I'm breaking out free from it, so how can I better empower myself even further? And because if you continue just to get caught into that drama, then you're functioning in that arena, that kind of energetic pattern. It's kind of like if you want to get involved in a game of football, then you have to be a very good footballer to succeed in that game. So if you're going to get caught up in that game of the conspiratorial realm, then you've got to know how to play that game, otherwise you're going to get eaten up.
That's right. And as you said, I like the way that you say it simply, is that this is a battle for our attention and focus.
And our awareness.
What you focus on, you are, or you're eating or being eaten. And if you're not conscious yourself, if we are not conscious and present to our own energy, then we are liable to being eaten, consumed with our higher bodies. Our consciousness and our energy can be consumed. As you said, the astral body can be removed. The etheric body probably can be tampered with. They got all kinds of things to mess with us. But I do feel that there are limitations in terms of what they can do. And I don't know if that has to do with cosmic lore. I like what you say about cosmic lore and cosmic law, and that might be a good segue for you to tell us the distinction between those two.
Okay. The cosmic law, L-A-W, is an authoritarian synthetic construct which has been overlaid and imposed superimposed over the natural order of things, which is universal law, L-O-R-E. Universal law is the natural unfoldment of things, which everything is in synchronicity with the flow of the unfoldment of, you know, the goodwill and intentions of beings, and in conjunction with the universal creator. The synthetic one, the law, L-A-W, is based on ego, it's based on control, and it's based on force. And those sorts of universal laws are the ones that come from the more Jehovian, Saturnian type of constructs. And because it's not the only one, but that's sort of like the main player at the moment. And there's many others that exist, mind you. And the universal law is just it's just allowing beings to just naturally be and experience life in a more or interactive relationship based process, rather than rules and regimented regulations and functioning within that box mentality construct. And even though universal law is can be sold as though it's L-O-R-E, and that's what they're trying to do, to blur the lines as much as they possibly can, there's still quite a big distinction. Because when you play in the game of L-A-W, in that arena, fear has to be the foundation. And the kind of love that is experienced in L-A-W is conditional. It's still a form of love, but it's a shallow form of love, and it's conditional love. And when you get into L-O-R-E, you're just flowing naturally with life, and that's where you experience unconditional love. And when you're in L-O-R-E, you realign yourself, because that's what I've done. I'm coming out of L-A-W, I've mostly come out of it, and I've moved over to L-O-R-E. And when you're in L-O-R-E, because you're flowing naturally with things, you're reconnecting and re-becoming that river of life that we spoke of earlier. And that flow starts to just pour down or emanate from within you. And to use another concept, pours down from the higher essence of yourself. And you obtain such power because you know your river, you know where your river is coming from, because you're not just an individual entity just bobbing up and down in a river that's flowing. You are the river. When you reconnect with your river of life, you are the river of life. So you have knowledge of where your river is coming from, and you have knowledge of where your river is headed, in which direction it's flowing. And that's very empowering. And so when you get a good feel for where your river is headed, if somebody comes up to you and says, oh, like they've done to me, you know, we're going to kill you. And I just say to them, no, you're not. I said, yes, we are. We can kill anyone anytime we like. And I said, no, you can't. They think they can, but they can't in the bigger scheme of things. And it's like, let me explain, because this isn't, I'm not being an egomaniac, okay? I'm not being cocky, I'm not being full of myself. I incarnated onto this planet to achieve a certain outcome. Now, the reason you and I are having this discussion is because we haven't died in a car accident, whereas other people have. So we're still here. Why are we still here? Where is our river of life flowing? And so when you become consciously aware of where your river of life is flowing, you realize that you have things to do. So it doesn't matter what anyone says or threatens you with, you know you're going to be doing them. You know you're going to be here. So those people will want to do something to you, but then they'll be discouraged, or they'll be driving towards your place to do something to you, and they'll end up having a car accident.
Right.
Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes, yes,
because,
exactly.
Because universal law, L-O-R-E, is more powerful than L-A-W.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's unconditional lore or love as opposed to the conditional variety. And I think that's a good way that we can recognize within ourselves, the choices that come up for us, what is the intent behind it, and is it unconditional or is it conditional? Is it based on fear? Is it based on beingness? And so it really gets pretty simple in terms of making decisions about life. Am I serving myself in this situation, or am I serving a larger whole? Am I serving a higher aspect? So we don't always have to serve the all that is. We don't have to serve the higher all the time. We can serve ourselves, and the best way is to serve ourselves selfishly, as you said in our last show, by being true to ourselves and being authentic.
Yeah, and what you come to realize is that in that process of serving yourself, because, you know, there's the bipolar version of that. People call it, is that person's service to self, or is that person's service to others? Well, both for me.
right, exactly.
Because they're still right. You know, promoting that polarized sort of version. And I've come to realize it's both. The more I serve myself, the more I end up serving others, because when I change, the reality around me changes.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, Michael Jackson, The Man in the Mirror, come on. That song is gold.
Oh, yeah. Great.
I mean, it's just pure genius. And, you know, listen to the words. And, you know, I'm a Led Zeppelin fan from way back. So they've got this song called Nobody's Fault But Mine. You know, it all starts with us, you know. And when you listen to the lyrics of these songs, it's some of the best philosophy you could ever hope to read or listen to.
Yeah, yeah. It's amazing how higher truths are embedded within the music that has become so popular, and I believe that that's intentionally, of course, because the higher is here. It's all around us, and we just have to have the eyes to see and the ears to hear, and not necessarily of the five senses.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So we're bombarded by a lot of different influences, and we have some control over our ability to remove ourselves from the programs and the structures that enslave us. There may be programs running that I'm unaware of, but if I'm unaware of them, then I'm not aware of what I'm not aware of. So, you know, I can only work with what I'm aware of, and so my job to me is to raise my awareness and consciousness and expand it as much as possible. Without stretching my head, because then I get headaches, you know. But and to see as clearly as I can. And then the mirror of the universe, the feedback loops within loops, show me the directions that I am choosing. Are they beneficial? Are they good? And I, for the most part, see that they are good. But being in life too much is very difficult. I'm guessing that people in cities have a much more difficult time centering within their hearts and within their core essence than those of us who are able to isolate and live in the country.
Yeah, it is. Well, yeah, we experience that when we go back into the cities, don't we? When we go back into that synthetic construct. And, you know, because we do it regularly in our travels and what have you. And, you know, Cynthia and I got to do it again tomorrow.
Oh, golly.
We're going to head back into the big smoke tomorrow. So we, you know, it's a constant thing. So it used to bother me quite a bit. Like I could really, I still notice the difference. The difference is astounding in energy.
Yes.
But what I'm finding now is I'm finding I can hold my center more, so I'm not being negatively affected by the energies of a city like I once was.
Yes. It does seem to take a certain amount of being exposed to it and working through that to be able to hold your own and not be dragged down by it.
Well, may I say, Lance, the magic formula that works for me is acceptance. The moment I accepted that the city needed to be there for all those living in the city, their souls to have that experience, that, you know, and because I know Big Mama's facilitating that for them and allowing these cities to be built on her body, then once I got to that place of acceptance, that's when I stopped being negatively affected by them.
Now, there's a lot of solar flares going on right now, bang, 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 and one of the questions that pops up here is, of course, the sun and the earth are working together with all of this mélange of energies, and how much of that is being interfered with, and what, as I'm getting it, the solar flares are higher consciousness that are pulsing higher frequencies for all of us to integrate. Are there holographic overlays that are causing us to see things not as they are?
Wow, that's a fantastic question.
First of all,
I'll just revert back to our conversation in the previous show where we discussed the umbilical cord on the serpent rope and the energy that's coming in from the core of the galaxy. So, yes, the flares that we're seeing are a result of that, of the energy coming from the core of the galaxy to the down the umbilical cord through to the sun and through the Earth. And the flares are more the physical manifestation of that energy because there's a massive interaction of energy that's going from the heart of the sun to the heart of the Earth Mother, which is a female version of the sun inside the crust. And we're seeing that through our hearts. There are people that are feeling that, but we can't measure it. We can't see that conventionally, if you know what I mean. But we can see solar flares. So the solar flares are kind of like the third dimensional version of that massive amount of energetic exchange that's going on between these beings.
Okay. Go ahead.
And the energy that's coming from the heart of the sun to the Earth is, of course, part of the birthing process because it's coming from the heart of the galaxy, which, you know, the consciousness of the galaxy and the consciousness of the planet are one and the same being. It's just a different aspect of the same being, of the divine feminine essence. So it's a massive amount of energy, and it's part of the birthing process so Mother Earth can give birth to Homo luminous, or our true human form. And it is. It's metamorphosizing things. It's changing.
Yeah,
I mean, there's even scientific evidence now that shows that the flares coming from the sun are literally, metamorphosizing matter. Literally, they've seen it. They're seeing it happen before them.
Is there some concern on the part of the managers and the those who are acting as representatives for the the negative forces of limitation. Is there concern about this particular period? Is it like a harvest for both sides, the positive and the dualistic nature that we're being shown?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Very well put. It is, technically speaking, it is a harvest for both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't say just both sides. I will say there's even more aspects to that, because you're looking at, in the lower domains, you're looking at beings on the positive side of duality, you're looking at beings on the negative side of duality, and then you're looking at people such as ourselves that are leaving that version of duality.
Right. Bye-bye.
Right? Which is what, you know, the birthing of the new race is all about here, is to have the race that is now going to move beyond those versions of duality. So, and then there's other beings that are coming here and they're just going to go back to their home system. And they won't be harvested, and they're not going to be ascending and moving on to this new state that we're moving on to, because it's just not their time. We probably came into the universe before they did, so we're just achieving it before they are. That's all. It's all just a matter of time.
Yeah. It seems like we're kind of like cosmic explorers and pioneers in this process.
That's exactly what we are.
We're
the way showers, Lance.
Uh-huh,
we're the ones who, in linear terms, we're the ones who are showing the way. We're the ones who are co-created and co-managed this project, the manifestation of this galaxy, this project being the road to compression, which is the manifestation of a galaxy which was to be the microcosm of the macrocosm, and then a solar system which was to be the macrocosm of the microcosm, and then a planetary body which was to be that. So we've compressed the whole universal and cosmic arena into one galaxy, then we compressed it into a star system, then we compressed it onto one planet, so we can bring everything back into zero point and rebalance everything and be centered once again. So that's what this whole project's been about. And there's many, many beings out there that have been insanely jealous of this whole process from its outset, from the very beginning and from its very inception. And they're the ones that are here insanely jealous, trying to do everything in their power to stop people from actually, getting through.
Yes, and that's just to do with their hatred for what we're doing. Is that what it is?
They are insanely jealous. It doesn't just border on hatred. They loathe and hate us with a passion and with rage, because we've experienced those beings firsthand, those energies. Cynthia and I have throughout our lives and continue to do so. And that's just the way it is for those beings, because they, how dare you, they said to us, because we took a journey back in time to when we started just consulting other beings about creating this galactic reality we're inside of, right back to that time before the galaxy was even created. And their words to us were, how dare you think that you can make it right? How dare you think you can create a reality that's going to bring everything back into balance, How dare you?
Yes.
We're the only ones who are allowed to do that, because they've got a superiority complex. And that shines through with the religious philosophies, with the, the New Age philosophies, with, a lot of the philosophies and mind-bending philosophies that are out there. It shines through, and, you get to see who's behind them. You get to see what's behind them, because they create this spiritual elitism in the most subtle and most sophisticated ways.
Yes. Yeah, very, very true. There's so much of it that it seems to pervade everything, even those with the highest and spiritual intent seem to, at some point, become prey to that energy in some way. And I've seen vast beings be twisted and turned and become their own opposite. Not everybody, but many. And it takes a great deal of clarity and work to hold your own center and not be swayed by all of that.
More power to
you for walking that tightrope, because you're really on the front lines in the fray and the battle. I'm sure if we heard the stories of things that you actually have gone through, it would be so horrifying and beyond our ability to conceive. I mean, I understand it, and I can see it in my mind's eye, so I know you are a true warrior and that you have been the darkest, and that you are now, you've transcended all that. You're transforming it and helping us all to see the light.
in order to truly be a master of love, of light, and of life, one must experience all of it in its totality. And you never really know about a situation or about a concept until you've walked in those shoes. You can intellectualize about something and contemplate about something and try and grasp the concept of something and try and even experience through some other being or some other essence. But until you've completely walked in those shoes, completely, yourself personally, you don't really know. You don't really know. No matter how much your spiritual ego wants to believe or convince you that you do know, and so therefore you don't have to explore those darker realms. That is spiritual elitism. That is fear of fear itself. And so many beings suffer from that because they remain wrapped up in cotton wool because they don't have the intestinal fortitude to venture into those more challenging realms. But until you've been there, you don't really know.
Absolutely. Well, we're approaching what I think is the end of this hour. So I've got like a dozen new questions that have popped up. Now we're just getting warmed up. I feel like we could really get into Zany and George Unplugged, but I guess we'll have to save that for another day. I do hope that you're able to come back and do another show with me, or two or three, as many as you like, anytime. You're more than welcome. But I'm going to turn it over to you to kind of wrap things up and again, mention your website. And where will you be? Is there some place that you'll be, some venue that you'd like to talk about? Well, this show will be aired in a few weeks, so it might be too late for that. But go ahead. The ball's in your court.
Oh, thank you very much. I so appreciate you inviting me on, Lance, and it's been an absolute pleasure. And I would be absolutely honored to once again have a discussion on life with you and share it with our human family. That would be just, that would be just lovely.
Good.
And what I do want to share with people, I don't have any live events coming up in the near future, probably around towards the it'll be around after the March equinox sometime, I'm feeling. That something will occur. Oh, I am appearing though at the Sydney UFO group. There's in a building in the Freemasons Center of all places. That's where they meet once a month. So they've asked me to do a talk there. It's in the Masonic Center in Castlereagh Street on the 11th of February, but in Sydney, Australia. So we are going to be appearing there for a day or an evening, and that'll be fun. So I'm writing the book to me, and if you don't mind, if I have just a quick moment, I want to read out the preface of the book because this will give people an understanding of where I'm coming from. And it's just three paragraphs. It's not too long. First, I must ask you, is it okay with you that an ordinary man can have a life of extraordinary experiences that enable him to once again have the understanding of life and basically access to the answers of the four primordial questions? Who are we? Where do we come from? What are we doing here? And where are we headed? I would like to think and feel that it is okay with you, but if it is not, then your need to defend your belief system and your ego, which is already feeling threatened, will greatly taint and diminish your ability to come to terms with and comprehend the magnitude of knowledge and wisdom that is being shared with you here in this moment and in the pages that follow. Did that feel challenging? For many, the answer will most likely be yes. I assure you I'm not coming from a place of arrogance, but rather a place of understanding. I understand what it feels like to have what we hold dear as our perception and beliefs of what life is and what life should be challenged in a way that makes us feel uncomfortable. This has been happening to me throughout my life and continues today. What I have come to know is that the moment will soon come when we will all have the opportunity to once again be consciously reconnected with the greater aspects of self and therefore the universe and beyond. If until that moment we are only always be in our comfort zone, remaining metaphorically wrapped up in cotton wool, too fearful to venture and explore life beyond our current mental and intellectual paradigms, and to never feel challenged in any way, then we will forever remain stagnant in our level of awareness with little or no growth in wisdom. That could very well result in a missed opportunity for that reconnection. The information that I will be sharing with you here will challenge mindsets, mental constructs, and also challenge belief systems. In fact, for many, it will challenge them greatly, more so than others. Everyone will be challenged in one way or another. You will see that I do not favour one group over another, as I am here to expose everything on all levels. As one reads on and the level of discomfort rises internally, then please consider that this may well be an indicator that what is being exposed here is one having unknowingly been assimilated into a mental or intellectual construct and or belief system procured from our societal programming. Last couple of sentences. Please note that this book is not for the faint-hearted. I am not here to fluff things up by wrapping the information in sophisticated, seductive literature so it gives you the warm and fuzzies. Nor am I here to entertain your mind. In fact, I am here to confront your mind. This is about informing you in the clearest, most raw and simplistic way I can. It is time to just tell it how it is.
Beautiful. And we are just out of time. Perfect. Thank you so much, George. And everybody knows your website, www.our/journey/home.com. And I'll be the first in line to buy a copy that's signed, okay? I promise. I want that book. All right. Thanks again, George. We'll talk again soon, I'm sure.
Love you, dear brother. Thank you.
Love you, too. All right. Bye-bye.